The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're starting early. Be part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. I put on a little COVID weight, but, not the same access to gyms and stuff like that. But I found myself in Fansville just the other day. Took the kids. We drive through fast food. Someone got a Dr. Pepper. I was like, give me that. Let me try some of that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's so good. All right, look. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So, COVID hits the NFL again. The Atlanta Falcons. Well, okay, quasi-NFL. Are the Falcons still considered in the NFL, Raj? Does anyone know? Have they been, what happens in
they're
soccer,
still on the
Raj?
Schedule.
What happens in soccer?
They're going to be on TV.
What does it in soccer,
relegated.
Right?
Relegated.
They're relegated. They're relegated. That's right. I don't know about that because I'm a good American sports fan, Raj, so I'm not sure about your soccer-loving ways. But the Atlanta Falcons apparently have not been relegated. They're shutting down their facility. Seriously, multiple positive COVID-19 tests, sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter. I've heard conflicting reports. I heard one. I heard multiple. Then I said, no, it's just one. I'm hearing multiple again. It's putting their game scheduled for Sunday in Minnesota with the Vikings in jeopardy. That game was in jeopardy for the Falcons before COVID, I'll tell you that much. Oh, they're bad. The Falcons placed Marlon Davidson on the reserve COVID-19 list Tuesday after, according to sources, the rookie defensive lineman tested positive for the virus. Adam Schefter said just earlier today on Get Up that he believes there are four positive tests in the most recent round of testing by the Falcons. But since then, I've heard there's only one. And then, anyway, it's COVID. This is inevitable. I don't care how much personal responsibility you talk about players taking. It's a numbers game. The virus is everywhere. The federal government's reaction to the virus has been an unmitigated disaster. It's not going to magically go away. In spite of what you may have initially heard, it's not 15 cases going down to none. It was 15 cases going up to a peak about a month ago. Yeah, a little more than a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. A peak of 70,000 new cases a day, 70,000. And then it went down about a month ago to about 30,000 cases. We're up over 50 again. 1,000 new cases a day. I think 7 million plus infected with the virus in this country, over 200,000 dead from COVID. This is real. And it's everywhere. It's all over the place. You can take precaution. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get it. Nick Saban has it. It seems to me Stephen A. made this point on First Take today. He's careful. He's fastidious. He's thorough. Still got it. When you wear a mask and you socially distance and you do all that stuff, all you're doing, each piece of behavior lowers the chance that you get it. None of it eliminates it. There's no vaccination, but it lowers the chance. You wear a mask, that's the best thing you can do. Wearing a mask is the number one best thing you can do. It's according to everyone. Every credible source, wear a mask. Socially distance, it's very good. See people, if you're going to see people outdoors is good because it's about the amount of kind of cubic volume of space versus the amount of stuff in the air, right? So someone has it in the spittle, whatever, as they're talking, little particles get into the air, but it's diluted by an enormous space. You know, you're outside, then the amount of virus per cubic, measurement is very low compared to if you're inside, right? So there are things that you can do to lower the chances you get it. None of it eliminates it. And given the size of the NFL, 100 people plus per team when you add the players and the support staff and all that, 32 teams, there are thousands of people involved. Look at the infection rate in this country. Dr. Fauci said recently you want to under did he say 2% or 1%? I forgot. But then I was reading it could be over 5%, way too high, of the total population. So at any rate, this is bound to happen. It's a numbers game. I don't care how careful the NFL is, this was going to happen. Now, here's the thing. The NBA was almost done with their season. They needed to hit a benchmark of, I think, 72 regular season games for all their local revenue to kick in. So when they got back, they played an extra 7 or 8 games to hit that benchmark, to hit that mark, rather, not benchmark, mark. So they got all their money. They had their cake and they ate it too. And since it was that close to the end of the season, they said, let's call it a day after we get to 72 or 73 games. Well, we're all going to be in a bubble. The players are going to test all the time. They're not going to be able to bring their family in, et cetera, et cetera. Guess how many positive cases the NBA is tested for? Zero. None. That's how you do it. They crowned a champion. Major League Baseball up against a different set of circumstances because their season hadn't yet started, and they have a lot more people per roster, and there's 162 games, and the players' union said, we're not going to be without our families for that amount of time. We're not going into bubbles, whatever. So baseball, Major League Baseball, unilaterally dictated it to the players' union. Okay, then 60 games, prorated salary. It was the right thing to do, and they moved to a bubble for the playoffs. Or more of like quasi-bubbles, at least. And looks like they're going to crown a champion. The NFL was just greedy. The owners tried to get the players to buy into a bubble. The players wouldn't. But the NFL, the owners never came to them. Hey, what about 8 games in a bubble? What if we did 8 games in 10 weeks? You can't see your families for 10 weeks, but we'll prorate your salaries. They never tried it. I've asked NFL players, what would you say to that? And they've told me, I have to think about that. It's not what the NFL said. They said, full 16-week schedule. Not only that, we're going to lose so much money from not having fans, we want to try and get as many fans into the stadiums as possible. All right, well, the odds that you're going to finish the season then are very low. Now, new testing came along, antigen tests, quicker results, all this stuff, and greater accessibility to testing. And I think, by and large, the NFL, actually, given the circumstances, given the kind of stupid setup they start with, they've done a great job. We're past the quarter pole of the season, and no one has yet officially had a game canceled. Now, I still think the odds they finish the season are under 50-50, but initially I said 0% chance. So they've been relatively disciplined for a league of this size, thousands and thousands of people. But that's the point. Personal responsibility and discipline will go so far, even if you have that, when a virus is everywhere, as COVID is, and there's no vaccination, it's a numbers game. It's going to catch up to some teams. Someone's going to get it. It's going to spread because it incubates for a while before it manifests with symptoms, right? You can have it be asymptomatic for like a while, for days and days and days and days. Meanwhile, you're transmitting the disease. This is the problem. One of them. Anyway, 888-SAY-ESPN, that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Boy, we got to get into some games this week. Steelers, Browns, y'all must have forgot, as the great Roy Jones Jr. once said. There's a real rivalry in the AFC North. And then with the whole fight last week, well, I'm going to get into whether I think that fight is going to play into this week's game. Who I think is going to win may not even be the best matchup of the weekend. David in Connecticut, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hello?
Go Max. Ahead, David. Yep.
I drive a limo. I've been a season Nick holder for over 30 years, and I want to tell you about the guy who got away.
Yep, go ahead.
Red Auerbach interviewed for the GM job many years ago for the Knicks, and they let him get away.
Listen. This reminds me of like the Giants, right? Think of how many coordinators the Giants have had. And they're a great franchise, unlike the Knicks, who are a laughingstock. Even now that the Giants stink, they've won a couple Super Bowls in the last 15 years. The Giants had Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry as their offensive and defensive coordinators and did not make either head coach. And they went and established the two greatest dynasties of the day, first Green Bay and then Dallas. Yeah, I know, Red Auerbach. But listen, Holtzman did a pretty good job. Knicks got a couple championships. It ain't the Celtics, but pretty good. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, let me ask your opinion on this.
Yeah.
When Brady called the timeout he didn't have, I heard the following week sportscasters, talk show hosts, you know, laughing about it and saying he pulled a Chris Webber. I find it deplorable that you can laugh at a college kid 30 years ago, 18, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that bad. The kid is
Listen,
playing.
Richard, let me tell you something. I'm glad you said what you just said. I always feel very conflicted about talking about college athletes, especially disparagingly, because they're kids. Now, on the one hand, if you're 18 years old and you can vote and you can you know, go off to war and drive a car and do all those things, and you know, you can't drink because insurance companies didn't like all the drunk driving deaths. You know, you could look at the charts. 18-year-olds don't do that very responsibly. Nevertheless, you can do all those things. That's a debate for another day, whether 18-year-olds should or not. But you can do all those things, and so you're more or less an adult, and you make a decision to go to a certain college, and you're playing on TV, and there's a lot of interest in it. And if you do well, you'll certainly be praised. But what if you screw up? I agree that it's you may be held up to public ridicule. I don't think it's right either. I try to take it easy. I think I usually do, if I don't always. But I don't consciously go at college athletes when they screw up or make a mental error. Because though I said all those things, they're, you know, quasi-adults and get to make all these choices and have chosen to play on TV. They're not professional athletes. In fact, maybe the fact that they don't get paid should indemnify them against that kind of, or protect them at least, against that kind of sports criticism. You know, that said, Chris Webber did screw up. It was a mental error, and everyone remembers it. So it will be referred to, and he's an adult now. He's not 18 anymore. But I'm glad you said that, because that's been on my mind a lot. I can't tell you how many production meetings I've been in. We're talking about, through the years, and we're talking about a college team or a college player, and how many times I have to say, hey, you know what? There's still a kid. Maybe we shouldn't go. Maybe we should ask a different question or approach this differently. Jacob in Syracuse, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I wanted to know if the Miami Dolphins have a shot at the AFC East.
If who?
The Miami Dolphins.
You got to stop listening to the radio. Did he say the Dolphins, guys? When the NFC East, maybe the Dolphins could win the NFC. Someone's got to win the NFC East. The Dolphins are a competitive team. They have a quality loss to the Bills, if there's such a thing, by a field goal. They blew out the Niners when the Niners were depleted. I don't think they're a very easy team to beat. I think they're competitive, but I don't think they're going to win the AFC East. Not this year. I like the Patriots over the Bills, and that puts me in a slight minority, I think. Clearly, they're not the worst team in the division. That would be the Jets by far, as usual. But I would not say that they have a chance to win the AFC East. If what you mean is going forward, let's see what Tua has on the pro level. Chad in Louisville, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. I heard you say that you think it's 50-50 the NFL is going to finish, and I get it to an extent, but I just feel like there is way more of a chance they're going to finish, especially with everything the Titans went through and these clubs have went through and exemplified that they can kind of overcome it. I mean, they had the game the other night with all those positive tests, but I just don't quite understand why you think it's 50-50.
Well, I'll tell you why. Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I'll tell you why I don't think it's 50-50. Because the bad part of all this, of COVID, like when it's, watch out, it's going to get really bad in flu season, is just starting now. And we've already seen daily cases spike from 30,000 about a month ago to over 50,000 today and yesterday. So we're up to over 50,000 cases again. There was a high of 70,000, I want to say, in July, I believe it was. But if this is supposed to be worse than that, what are we going to go to? 80, 100,000 new cases a day? Is that possible? If it is, I'm sure it's possible. If it is, our health care system is going to be overtaxed. There won't be enough hospital beds for everyone. Mortality rate, therefore, according to the experts, should rise. I mean, this is serious. So I know there is a sense that, well, we're just going to open the economy, we're going to go on because we're in an election year, and a lot of irresponsible people want to forge ahead because they think it's politically beneficial. But pretty soon, you would hope, cooler heads would prevail, and we're going to be dealing with an increased national health crisis. How are we going to respond to that? Will they continue to play football? I think it's possible that the NFL can crown a champion. I highly doubt it's possible to have a 16-week season and a full slate of playoff games and crown a champion, given the circumstances as they are, if the teams don't have a new plan, go into kind of bubbles or quasi-bubbles, cut down on traveling, figure out how to do this. Like, baseball adjusted on the fly a little bit for the postseason. And the NBA had to shut down the season because COVID had just hit and then reopen with a new plan. I think the NFL is going to have to change their plan if they want to finish the season and crown a champion. And even then, I don't think they'd be able to get through their full slate of games. I think it's unlikely. It's news from Max Kellerman Nation. Jacob from Louisville just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line thinking that the NFL can play all the games and get through the season. Look, the NFL has surprised me so far. I am surprised that past the quarter pole of the season, we haven't had any official cancellations of games. The Steelers had to switch their bye. The Titans and Bills got their game in on a Tuesday. We'll see what happens with the latest stuff going forward. But and I would say this. Even if some teams play 16 games and others play fewer games and you have to go by winning percentage eventually, something like that would be a major victory for the NFL. That even is unlikely. But if they could do that, if they could just accept some asymmetry when stuff gets bad, see, it's easy to especially in July, July they spiked, but a month ago, so was that September, when cases were falling, to think, hey, wait a minute, this is good. We're getting good news every day. Good news. It's falling. Fewer cases week over week. Then you feel like anything's possible, particularly in an election year where it's politically beneficial for some to press this message like, we're going to just act like business as usual. Understand, the experts who studied this, including when I looked at some studies, as a matter of fact, when the news of COVID came, like, oh, this is about to hit here in the next couple days. And I looked at the Spanish flu, the so-called Spanish flu in 1918, the pandemic that hit the United States, the whole world hard. And what the academics found in the aftermath and since then, who studied it, was that urban areas in the United States, going back to 1918, had different outcomes, not just based on population density, how many people lived how close together, but also, importantly, based on how soon they closed up, how much they social distanced, and how much stamina they had for it, how long they social distanced and didn't rush to open things. Cities that did that had far better outcomes. We were late to close, and at the highest levels of our government, completely misleading and in denial about it to the American public. We were early to open, and large swaths of the country were openly mocking the idea of social distancing and mask wearing and having super spreader events. We're not in good shape with this right now. And so the fact that the NFL is operating as close to as they can business as usual, in my view, is a mistake from the beginning. You have to deal with the reality and come up with a realistic plan. That said, they're doing better than I would have anticipated. I did not think that all these teams would not have yet officially canceled instead of just postponed or moved to bye week a single game. That's amazing. Maybe they can pull it off, but they'd be doing it against the odds.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Browns Steelers. This is a real AFC rivalry game. AFC North. Everyone, I think most people think the Ravens got this in the regular season. But the Steelers went 8-8 last year. 8-8 without Ben Roethlisberger. And then without their backup. And then without their third-string quarterback for a while. Mike Tomlin, in fact, doesn't even need a guy to play quarterback. Could just be an empty spot there. He could play 10 on 11, no quarterback. The man can't go under 500. He can't have a losing season. Oh, man. And you could see why. Like, X's and O's fine, and he's obviously good because he's adapted with the times, right? He comes in, Steelers football. Remember that first press conference? Run the ball, stop the run. I'm like, who is this dude? No wonder they hired this guy. Because I was a Steelers fan from way back. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, but when I was a kid, the Giants stunk. If your hometown team stunk in the 70s, you chose one of two teams to root for out of market. You were either chose the Steelers if you were a real football fan and a real person, or if you were a terrible human being, you chose the Cowboys. Nevertheless, I chose the Steelers. They won all the time. And when Mike Tomlin got up at that podium, they never hire a head coach. Once every million years, they hire a head coach, and that guy stays there forever and wins Super Bowls. So when they hire Tomlin, he's up there going, run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. I'm like, oh, man, here it goes. And they go from that kind of team, and then the league develops, right? And it's like, no, you got to have basically five wideouts running everywhere. And the Steelers went that way. They became a dynamic offensive team. Then they needed the defense to get better. He went that, like, you know, he adjusts over time. All the great ones do. But he also, you can see, gets the best out of his players. Who would, like, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. In football, it's not even close. But if you were a player and you had to play for a certain coach, who would you choose? And for me, it would be Tomlin. There's something about that dude. He says stuff, I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm all in. Man can't have a losing season. If there was ever an excuse for a losing season, it was last year. It didn't happen. Now he has Ben Roethlisberger back. And Claypool, this kid ain't playing. He's no joke. By the way, Connor's good. They got guys. Not as glamorous as A.B. and Le'Veon Bell, but the Killer Bees never won anything. They never won a Super Bowl. Tomlin won the Super Bowl before he had him, when it was just Roethlisberger. Anyway, here are the Steelers, undefeated, no real quality wins. I mean, a win is a win, but they haven't beaten any good teams. If you look at the teams they've beaten, it's not very impressive so far, but their defenses look good. And they got Roethlisberger back, and he looks good. And they're playing the Browns, the surging Browns. Last year, I was like, look at all this talent. They're going to be Super Bowl contenders. That's right. First year, just like that. I believed in Baker Mayfield. I saw what happened once he got, like, first of all, once Hugh Jackson left, Baker Mayfield was one of the most productive quarterbacks on the second half of last season, of two seasons ago. So I'm like, here it comes. But they didn't hire the right coach. It fell apart. They weren't very good. They weren't very bad either, but they weren't very good. They were kind of a middle of the pack team. Then it looks like they got the right coach. Looks like they did. I mean, Minnesota's offense hasn't looked as good this year as it did last year. And the Browns' offense looks a whole lot better. And you heard he's going to do it through the running game, and he has, even down his best back. I mean, Kareem Hunt's no slouch. Pretty good second best back to have on your team. And Baker hasn't looked great, but he's looked good enough. And the Browns are coming off a quality win. This is a great matchup. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, the question is, does what happened last year with the Mason Rudolph-Myles Garrett fight, where Myles Garrett swung Mason Rudolph's helmet at Mason Rudolph's head and was suspended for many games? What was it, 6-game suspension? Cost him a lot of money, a lot of playing time. Is that going to linger? Is that going to carry over? Well, let me say first, did you hear what I said? Myles Garrett swung Mason Rudolph's helmet at him. How did that happen? Well, Myles Garrett took off Mason Rudolph's helmet. But why did it happen? Because Mason Rudolph tried to take off Myles Garrett's helmet. But Myles Garrett had leverage. He was on top of him, and he's a bigger, stronger guy. So Mason Rudolph was unsuccessful in his attempt to take off Myles Garrett helmet, Garrett's helmet. Myles Garrett was successful taking off Mason Rudolph's. But for Mason Rudolph to be close enough, while Myles Garrett's being pushed back by Mason Rudolph's teammates, why was Mason Rudolph close enough to have anything swung at his head? Because he was pursuing Myles Garrett. Mason Rudolph started the fight, escalated the fight when he tried to take off Myles Garrett's helmet, pursued Myles Garrett, further continuing the fight, and Myles Garrett was the one suspended for a lot of time. Now, he should have been, and probably Mason Rudolph should have been too, gotten a bigger punishment than he did. At any rate, and by the way, everyone's like, he could have killed him with his helmet. Okay, does the result matter? Yes. If he would have hit him, he kind of did hit him. Nothing happened. He was all right. Not that anyone should ever swing a helmet at anyone else's head. But probably, for example, if I was in a fight with a guy bigger than me, I started the fight with him. I then escalated the fight, like I picked up an object to hit him with. If he then picked up an object and I continued to pursue the fight, when I woke up, I don't know if people would feel very sorry for me. So is there going to be bad blood? Is this going to continue? Well, why would it from the Steelers' point of view? The Steelers won that exchange. It was the other team that got punished more severely than the Steelers. And now Mason Rudolph's not the quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is. Why would the Steelers have lingering bad blood? And the Cleveland Browns got bigger fish to fry. Myles Garrett had a lot of time and paychecks missing, and he is balling out of control this year. I don't think it's going to, I mean, maybe there'll be bad blood in the sense they'll be even more competitive than normal. Like, this one goes to 11. I know it sounds ridiculous. Well, aren't they already super competitive? No, actually, the whole this is Spinal Tap thing, this one goes to 11, that exists because under certain circumstances, you can tap into adrenaline that you don't normally have access to. In other words, no matter how many times you simulate the situation in practice and come out with a competitive spirit, there are external circumstances that can put enough pressure on you to cause you to produce adrenaline you wouldn't normally have access to. And then it goes to 11. So do I think that this one goes to 11? I think it's possible, but I don't see it as bad blood spilling over and another fight taking place. I see it as an excellent AFC North matchup. I think the Steelers rested have a good chance to win this game. Even though the Browns have looked good and they're on a roll, I think you have a rested team and a defense that's looked good and a quarterback that's looked good, and they still have to prove themselves. Steelers got screwed by the schedule change, by the fact that the Titans held a practice after they were told to socially distance, and the game is canceled. And the Steelers now, you know, had to take their bye already, which wasn't scheduled. But okay, Mike Tomlin's not one to make excuses. He's just going to prepare for the next week. I think the Steelers are very motivated, first of all, to beat a quality team. Secondly, to have that divisional win. And thirdly, yes, some revenge. They lost that game. I like the Steelers, but this is a pick 'em kind of affair, in my view.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com.
X.
Now we pause. Oh, there we go. I didn't even hear Max. The axe. There we go.
Max.
I don't know. Someone's getting smacked there with an axe. Whoosh. Max, what's that all about? Oh, Malik in North Carolina. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Okay. What I wanted to say was that I think that Russell Wilson's going to win MVP.
All right.
Because he's improved DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett so much. I feel like Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner, they're the best at their position in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Adams playing this week, Raj? Is Adams playing this week?
Who's that? What team is he?
Jamal at? Adams. We're talking about the Seahawks, Raj.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a football player. He's a safety. Hey, Malik, let me ask you something.
He's going to play.
Malik, where is
yes.
He? How old are you?
14.
Okay, and I notice it's before 3 o'clock, and yet so school's in, but you're calling me now. You can tell me the truth. When I was your age, I sometimes used to cut school. My brothers and I would cut school. We'd trade baseball cards. That's how old I am. And we'd carry it in cigar boxes, trading baseball cards. What's going on with you? Why aren't you in school?
Yeah, I just got out of school a few minutes ago.
Good for you. Now, I'm just, you know, it would have been even better if you said, normally I'd be in school, but I'm such a fan of the show.
No,
I
Max,
wanted to call you and
something.
Talk football.
He said he just got out of school 15 minutes ago, but he's been on hold for 50 minutes.
Oh, Malik.
Yes.
Is this true? You've been on hold for almost an hour, but you said 15 minutes ago you got out of school? How does that add up?
Yeah, I was doing my test while I was waiting.
What kind of test? Well, let's find out about Malik's curriculum. What kind of test you got?
It was a marketing test.
A marketing test?
Yes.
You have marketing? You're 14? What grade are you in?
Ninth.
So ninth grade has a marketing test? You're calling from North Carolina, huh? What kind of marketing test? You're going to be a businessman?
I don't know. I want to be a sports analyst.
You want to be a sports analyst. Good. That's, by the way, it's a great job. Pays great. And you don't have to work for a living. You get to talk about sports. All right, Malik, we're going to wrap this up. I noticed that you said 15 minutes, but in fact, it's been almost an hour since you've been on the line, which means Malik must have finished his marketing test very quickly and then called the show. He's a marketing whiz, Malik, at the age of 14. Vernon in Maryland, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Vernon in Maryland. Well, this is a scintillating call, Raj. I'm glad we have all the callers ready to talk on here on Axe Max. I'm going to axe Vernon now. Now you can play that whoosh sound. Ben in Georgia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I really appreciate you being willing to look at both sides of the coin with COVID with the NFL. I just moved to Georgia from Oregon, two states that are handling the COVID situation completely differently. But a lot of my friends work in the medical field, and they've been concerned about the number of tests that NFL is taking up. Yes, they're testing negative, but taking those away from people that actually need the tests before surgeries and other things like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was under the impression that tests were so widely available now that it wasn't the same kind of ethical question it was months ago. Then again, when this thing started, there weren't 50,000 new cases a day. So I suppose even if the tests have proliferated, even if there are more of them and they're more accessible to people, they're in greater demand now than ever before. It's interesting. I think there is a legitimate ethical question to be asked about whether it is ethically right to, whether it's ethical to take up tests at a time like this to play a sport. COVID has hit the NFL again. Are they going to get through the season? Max Kellerman Show.